From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the third day of November 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the WTO is looking for new ways to finance global trade. The European Commission says those countries using the euro for currency will grow next year, but barely. And Verizon plans to reorganize. It is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. And along the way on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, we'll hear about the seven wonders of the corn yield world. The Closing Mark Report is a production of WILL, that's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this in the wheat pit. December contract, 25¾ cents higher. The settlement for December wheat at 562, up 25¾. March at 582½, 25¾ higher. May futures, $5.96, up 25½. And December corn today, $4.03, up 1½. March contract, 420¾, up a penny and a half. May futures at 432½, up 1¾. July corn at 443½, up 1¾ as well. November soybeans at 928¼ on their last trade today, 3 cents this higher the settlement price. January futures at 937½, up 4½ cents. And the March at 949¼, up 4. May contract 960¾, up 4 cents for the day. December bean meal at 275.20, up 220. December bean oil at 34.74, up 114. Live cattle futures from the livestock side at the CME Group. December futures 93.32½, 62½ higher. The February down a dime at 94.15. November feeders at 99.70, up $1.07½, and the January feeder cattle at 99.17½, up $1.12½. December lean hog future settled at 54.40, down 40 cents. February at 61.90, down $1.07½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. December crude oil at $63.85 a barrel, now trading $3.96 lower. November ethanol at $1.76 3/10 is unchanged. Natural gas for the December contract up 4 cents at $6.82 3/10. The RBOB gas at $1.36 3/10, 13¢ lower. December heating oil down a dime and 2 cents at $1.98 1/10. That's diesel fuel, of course. And propane is trading just about unchanged at this hour at 94¢ 2/10 cents. Gold futures at $7.25.40, up $8.60. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently now stands at 92.97. A 15-minute delay on that trade, down just about 28 points for the day. The U.S. dollar at 86.42½ is up 0.59 on the afternoon. Here's what the forecast for the Tuesday region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. It's short and very sweet tonight, mostly clear. Lows will range from 45 in southeastern Indiana to 55 in the northwestern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, says Ed, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range between 72 and 77. The extended forecast highlights call for dry and unseasonably warm weather to continue right on through Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms, though, may enter northwestern and west central Illinois just before daybreak on Thursday, but all other areas should remain dry through Wednesday night. A cold front should push through the region Thursday afternoon and into that evening. That'll end this period of unseasonably warmer weather. Scattered showers likely on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, especially in the northern half of Illinois and Indiana. High temps over the weekend will only be in the 40s in most locations.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. Kurt Kimmel is always here. He's with Bates Commodities, where he serves as their senior grains analyst in the Bloomington Normal office. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what does the senior grains analyst tell me today happened in the marketplace?
Consolidation. We started the market lower. We had a good early morning rally. That fizzed out as the day wore on. As you well know, corn futures up 1 to 3 cents, beans up 3 to 4. When you look at the big picture, since the 1st of October, we really haven't gone anywhere. I mean, we've had a wide range. These corn's been as high as 440 and as low as about 360. Beans have been as high as close to this 980 and as low as 825. But the chart action suggests some consolidation. You can picture a head and shoulders bottom on the chart formation. Cycle counts points to timing in here where we can base to get something to go. I imagine here by this time next week we'll have a little clearer picture which direction we're going to go. We're going to have election out results tomorrow evening. We'll have some unemployment numbers out by Friday. Then, of course, a week from today we'll have the USDA's ideas on the supply-demand balance sheet, Todd.
So there are lots of things that are involved there. And then on the world front, there are a couple of other things. I had a listener write in, and I know I think we probably talked with you about this last week, but I'll take it back up, wanting to know, because the freight rates have plummeted so far on the global ocean freight rates, wanted to know whether that would help exports pick up from the United States or not.
Bottom line, we feel so. You know, it's just a matter of obtaining credit to purchase the grain and move the grain, for say, but we've seen China or Asia in general pick up, especially on bean demand here lately. They've taken advantage of the lower prices plus lower freight rates to move grain. We shipped out another 49 million bushels of beans this week, so we're moving right along. Bean exports are up to last year's pace, which is good. Now, the question is whether we maintain that or not, but Asia's been a big importer of soybeans. Corn's been struggling, though, but corn harvest is only going to be probably 50-55% complete on this afternoon's report, so we've had to get through harvest and get some readily available supplies ready for export. Even barge transportation, there's large demand for barges now, and so overall, when you look at the big picture, we're going to have to watch this freight rate very closely to determine whether or not world trade is starting to pick up, because if freight rate remains in a downtrend here, we're at six-year lows, that's a signal we're just not moving products worldwide.
And that possibly they're unable to get credit to actually load those big vessels. Is that right?
Correct, yeah. I mean, it's all intertwined together, and definitely the credit issue will remain a concern here for probably another few months yet.
You talked about a possible head and bottom, or head and shoulders bottom in the corn, although you did couch that with the potential that we could go either way at this point yet. Over the weekend when we talked on Commodity Week with John Bondurant, we probably found one of the most bearish market analysts that I've talked to, at least in the last month or so. What are the items on both sides of this marketplace that would push one way or the other?
Well, technically, if you look at the technicals, it's basing, it shows potential to get something go to the upside. Also, fundamentally, as we wrap up harvest, we all know good and well that it's hard to get the producers to be a seller. So that would be the positive spin. But probably the main concern, which is still a concern and yet said by some to be the other shoe to drop yet, is the two most bullish things we've ever seen to push grain markets sharply, sharply higher is major concern right now. What I mean by that is, one is the commodity funds, They bought, and it drove the market higher. But lately, as we well know, they've been in a defensive decline going through liquidation mode, and there's more liquidation to come. There's going to be quite a bit of selling here as we get into late this week, first part of next week, as funds continue to liquidate. Then secondly, the other most bullish thing we've ever seen in the agriculture side was the demand for ethanol. And we're starting to see some of these plants struggle. In fact, one of the largest ethanol producers in the United States declared Chapter 11, and that's not bullish whatsoever. So we're at a teeter-totter point here where the market has the ability to go sharply either way as we go into mid-late November.
Now, tell me more about Verisun and what you think about this and what you're hearing. So the question really is, with those plants, you think those plants will continue to produce? Verisun is simply reorganizing, so it's not simply reorganizing. It declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but it's reorganizing. Do you think they'll be able to keep the plants open through that process? Will they be bought and potentially continue to produce, or are they going to just shutter them?
Well, that's a good question, and might be getting a little bit of my expertise on it. But what I've been picking up, what we feel is going to happen, is there is voluntarily movement towards this route where they're trying to do their best to stay in production. Several times they've mentioned to keep the employees' pay coming to them on a timely fashion. So they're trying to do their best to survive and stay alive and through here. Odds are we'll probably see them come in and have a buyer take them over after the first of the year here. They've got a large amount of bonds due here by year end, and a lot of the street analysts feels they're not going to be able to raise the capital in time to meet those obligations, so therefore may a sale is probably in the works here as we go into first quarter of 2009.
Well, Dave Dickey will have more about that in just a minute or so when we talk with him about the agricultural news for the day. We appreciate you being along for the ride this afternoon.
Very good.
All right. Thanks much. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joined us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. In a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with all the agricultural news for the day.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
In agricultural news, the World Trade Organization has summoned leaders of top banks to find new ways to finance the global exchange of goods and services, which faces a slowdown because of the tight credit constraints caused by the financial crisis. Over 90% of trade transactions involve some form of credit, insurance, or guarantee, financing that has become increasingly difficult for importers and exporters to secure amid the current crisis affecting the global markets and banks. The WTO says demand for trade financing is exceeding supply in some places around the globe. The European Commission today forecast that the economy in the 15 countries that use the euro will barely grow next year, expanding just 0.1%, as the financial crisis hits hard. The currency zone's largest economies will come to a standstill or shrink, the report said in its latest economic outlook, with Germany, France, and Italy not growing at all. The EU executive says Ireland and Spain will see output fall and jobless lines and government deficits swell. South Korea's imports in October grew 12% from a year ago, the slowest annual growth rate since September of 2007, when imports fell 1.6%. With a slower growth in imports, South Korea posted a $1.22 billion trade surplus in October, the first surplus since a $701 million surplus in May of this year. The data comes ahead of a scheduled interest rate setting meeting on Friday by the Bank of Korea. The central bank last week cut its policy rate by a record 75 basis points in an emergency meeting to fight the economic slowdown. Verisun Corporation, one of the nation's largest ethanol producers, is filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The South Dakota-based company says it expects to continue normal operations and pay its workers regular salaries while it reorganized. Verisun made bad bets on the corn market over the summer as grain prices reached record highs, resulting in significant losses for the company. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report, reminding you to take it easy out there this afternoon. I know you're in the midst of the latter part of harvest. You're probably tired at this point. Shut down that combine or tractor at the end of the field, the truck, whatever you're in. Take a little bit of time and get a little nap this afternoon, a little rest. It'll help you out through the rest of the day, and do it two or three times during the day. I take a coffee break. You should too. It'll keep you alert and make sure that at the end of this harvest season, at the minimum, you have all your digits on hand. Hey, well, that's a bad pun, but I want you to be safe out there, so get all the rest you possibly can. Now, up next, you know what? A research agronomist here at the University of Illinois uses a tool he calls the Seven Wonders of the Corn Yield World. It teaches farmers and crop consultants the relative importance of management factors that impact corn yield.
Wouldn't you like weeds with that? Well, no. I mean,
Fred Belo is a little guy with a great big voice and an even bigger message.
Weeds decrease yield, right? So in today's technology, I mean, if you have weeds, well, sure, you're on fault.
He's been talking to farmers and consultants about the seven wonders of the corn yield world. Controlling weeds is not one of them, nor is controlling diseases or insects or even putting in field tile. Belo says those are all corn production management prerequisites. The University of Illinois research agronomist says the wonders are things that can impact yield every year. The number one wonder, to the tune of 70 extra bushels an acre, says Fred Belo, when it's just right, is the weather.
If I could select any single factor for corn yield, well, I'd take rain in July, with low August temperature being the number one, or number two, one. So, you know, if you have irrigation, then you say I control some of the weather. Not all of it, though. I put planting date in the weather. All right. I mean, anybody that doesn't plant when the best date arrives, it'll be a mistake. You know if you plant too early. So planting date is weather related. It either allows you or prevents you from planting. So weather, the number one wonder of the corn yield world.
The second wonder is nitrogen, but here is a note on that and the rest of the corn yield world wonders. The higher it is on the list, the more likely it is to influence the wonders below it. No amount of nitrogen can compensate for bad weather.
Weather and nitrogen, big interaction. How big effect does nitrogen have, by the way? This is a big question. I already show you here. It's influenced heavily by weather. And so here's sort of my example. This is my own data. Nobody loves data like their own data. You know, and I'm the same way, right? And you can glean a few nice things out of here, by the way. Look at up here. See if you here's the, I guess this is one nice thing about N is. If you put a lot more on than you need, it doesn't hurt the yield. Apparently, there's quite a water quality problem, though, I learned yesterday, you know, so. That's the downside, but if it wasn't for that, geez, too much wouldn't be too bad. If I look at the delta yield, you know, and this is what we're really after, this is the value you get out of your N fertilizer, and I look at it here over a bunch of locations, it's about 60 bushels, 61 here, a little less than you actually think. But about a 60 bushel on farm value for nitrogen fertilizer. I actually made it 70 because I can't believe it's only 60, you know, in my seven wonders.
The third wonder is the one the U of I's Fred Belo says farmers have the most control over. It is hybrid selection, and he suggests BT technology has already influenced the ability of hybrids to utilize the number two wonder, nitrogen.
Hybrid selection is probably one of the biggest factors that you make an influence in yield. And it's going to get worse with biotechnology. You know, if BioTech had your way, they're gonna start controlling the nitrogen and the weather in the hybrid, aren't they? And I'm pretty sure they're gonna charge you for that.
Belo's fourth corn yield management wonder is the previous crop, and in the era of continuous corn, has increasing weight. Numbers 5, 6, and 7 have smaller impact, but a larger possibility for interactions with the first four. They are plant population, tillage, and a catch-all simply called chemicals, which includes growth regulators and fungicides. Again, here's the list and Fred Belo's yield value in order. Weather, 70 bushels. Nitrogen, 70 bushels. Hybrid selection, 50 bushels. Previous crop, 25 bushels. Plant population, 20 bushels. Tillage, 15 bushels. And chemicals, 10 bushels. Add them all up, and you get 260 bushels. Up until last year, that would have been truly a wonder. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons joins us from right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt. Got you on the line. Wrong line. Hang on. There you are. Hi, Wyatt.
I was going to say, I could barely hear you.
No, well, that happens from time to time. So let's talk about basis just a bit this afternoon. We've had this really long sort of drawn-out harvest season, in particular here in East Central Illinois, maybe longer than others, although other than Iowa. Has basis really maintained itself pretty well, and what does that mean for the bounce that producers normally would see that might come later in the season?
Well, right here around Champaign, the longer season has been to the farmer's benefit. Normally you see what we call the gut slot harvest weekend or harvest week where the elevators just can't physically handle it and basis widens out. All fall, basis has improved all the way through, at least in this area. So as for a bounce, something that doesn't fall as much will not be bouncing as much. I do expect basis to continue to improve because of lack of farmers selling out there. No one's looking to sell given today's futures values. So basis is going to have to improve to pull that out.
I have a question there on this producer shutting the bin door. We talk about this a lot in the fall, that producers have shut the door. But have they shut the door this time around because they were too heavily sold ahead, do you think?
Oh, I don't. I mean, if you'd sold anything over the last year, I wouldn't say it's too heavily sold ahead because odds are it's at today's price or better, first of all. And it's tough to peg that right now because there's been more on-farm storage built. So I don't want to say that people aren't selling because they had more sold ahead this year than in other years. It's just a matter of given where the futures value is today versus where it has been, not a lot of selling. One thing I'd like to note, though, there's a huge difference, a dichotomy going on in the basis everywhere. The river basis at 55 under versus eastern Indiana 10 over cash corn. Huge swing.
And that's because the processors there need the corn, I assume.
Processors need the corn. It's been stored on farm. The harvest has been drug out longer. They counted on buying it just because they were being open.
10 seconds.
And then the river's just slammed right now because barges are not moving.
Thanks, Wyatt.
Yeah. Have a good one, Todd.
You too. Wyatt Muse with the Andersons.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. A Champaign County man who was convicted of murdering his estranged wife and hiding her body in a wooded area will be required to serve nearly all of his 65-year prison sentence. Robert Arnett has been sentenced to 60 years for the murder of Naomi Arnett in May of last year and another 5 for concealing the death. Searchers spent several months trying to find Arnett after she disappeared from her home in Sadorus. Her body was found in a shallow grave, and testimony concluded that Robert Arnett had strangled her the previous May. Mr. Arnett's attorneys say they're appealing the verdict. Officials in Illinois now say more than 877,000 people have voted before Election Day. The latest figure is nearly 4 times the state's former early voting record of about 220,000 in the primaries this year. Illinois election officials hope the record early turnout will mean shorter lines on Election Day when many expect turnout to be around 80%. County clerks in Indiana have wrapped up absentee voting, with at least two counties in the western part of the state already getting ballots from 10% of registered voters. But neither county clerk believes the heavy pre-election voting will keep lines from forming at their usually quiet polling places. The clerk in Fountain County doesn't believe the anticipated voter turnout has much to do with the national attention, given Indiana's battleground role in the presidential race. She says it's a historic election no matter who wins, and voters just want their voice to be heard. John McCain is in Indianapolis today. He will be there for a rally at the airport as part of a final barnstorming tour through several states. Barack Obama is due back in the Indianapolis area tomorrow to visit with voters at an undisclosed location. A monthly gauge of economic activity in Illinois has reached its lowest level in more than 4 years. The University of Illinois Flash Index uses tax receipts from the previous month. It suggests that in September, the state's economy inched closer to being stagnant, just above the level signifying economic growth. The index's author says the firewall that some people had hoped would have kept the fallout of the crisis in the financial sector from reaching the real economy has been breached. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. The time to check in now on the agricultural weather forecast. Joining us this afternoon, Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what a beautiful day you've delivered today. How long can we expect this kind of weather to persist in the Midwest?
Well, Todd, across the Midwest, we can expect several more days of this Indian summer weather here, just ideal situations, not only just for personal activities, but also for harvest progress here across the Midwest. So it's going to continue here tomorrow and on into Wednesday, even lingering into Thursday across the eastern sections of the Midwest, namely Illinois eastward. However, the western belt will begin to cool down as a storm system moves into the plains and western Midwest. That storm system will bring back reality here to places in the Midwest as we see much cooler temperatures moving in. But cooler temperatures, we're talking about something more seasonable here as we go into the upcoming weekend. And along with the storm system will also be increased rain chances across the Midwest as well.
That dose of reality, I think, is supposed to make it all the way to where I am by the weekend. And that'll put highs in, what, the 40s that day?
Oh, down probably for your area there around, upper 40s, probably lower 50s just south of you. And so, yep, return to more normalcy over the weekend with an increase in precipitation, i.e. it's not going to be like this past weekend, Todd.
Boy, it sounds like November, doesn't it?
Exactly. What you're seeing right now is highly anomalous for this time of year. Pretty rare situation, but we're going through it, so enjoy it while you can.
Indeed. Tell me about the rest of the globe. What do you see that you'd like to talk about?
Well, no real big issues out there, Todd, in the land of corn, soybeans, and winter wheat around the world, and especially across South America, as planting of corn and soybeans continues. And at this time, there's no significant issues. We've seen improvement in rainfall in Argentina lately. That's improving soil moisture for planting of summer crops. In Brazil, we've seen really wet conditions down across southern Brazil. That will be improving here as dry conditions move into that area, and actually wetness will expand northward and encompass more of Brazil, which for some areas they could use the rain. Namely, the northeastern portion of the Corn Belt has been very dry and hot over the past few weeks, and so an increase in rain late this weekend and next week will be very timely and very beneficial for that portion of Brazil.
A couple of other southern hemisphere continents we might want to check in on. I don't know whether you've been following the South African corn crop or the Australian wheat crop, but bring me up to date on one of the two of those.
Yeah, across actually both areas are in pretty good shape. Soil moisture is much better in Australia compared to a year ago, and so they're come up with a pretty good wheat crop as harvest begins to start up here shortly.
Okay, thanks much.
My pleasure, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what he had to say again, you can do that, of course, right there on our website anytime you'd like, 24/7 at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this ag programming and other ag programming you can listen to right off the website. You can sign up to have it downloaded to your computer all the time as a podcast automatically. And don't forget to sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe. You have a good afternoon and stay safe in the field. I'm Todd Gleason.